Yesterday, Taraji learned that during the practice, yogi has to mind only the practice, noting every arising object without missing, without failing. And yogi should only mind noting continuously. And Saraji explained yesterday that yogis tend to think this and that. They imagine this and that, and they also expect good experiences, and they also expecting higher knowledges, supermundane knowledges. And yesterday, Saraji explained whether one should expect higher knowledges, mature knowledges, magaphalanyana, path and fruition knowledge, and nibbana, the cessation. And today, Saraji will explain whether or not one should expect the highest knowledge. Some say that expecting, longing for magaphalanyana, path and fruition knowledge, and expecting nibbana is not tanha, craving. Expecting magaphalanyana and nibbana is considered to be kusala chanda, the wholesome will. But one needs to consider whether tanha, craving, can really take the supermundane knowledge as the object. And it is said that tanha, craving, cannot take the supermundane knowledge, supermundane dhamma as the object. So there are facts that person should consider whether a putujana, the worldly being who have thick layers of defilements, whether such kind of person can really take the magaphala, path and fruition knowledge, and nibbana as the object, and this should be considered. Saraji explains the consciousness that arises in the putujana. So among these consciousness that arise in the putujana, the worldly being, only Grutrabhu can take nibbana as the object. Grutrabhu is the consciousness that arises proximate to Sotapattimagga, the first path knowledge. After the Grutrabhu arises, Sotapattimagga, the first path consciousness, follows. Grutrabhu is the consciousness that abandons the state of putujana, worldly person who is thick with defilements. So among the putujana, among the consciousness that arise in the putujana, worldly being, only the consciousness Grutrabhu can take nibbana as the object. No other consciousness that arise in putujana can take nibbana as the object. It is said that the consciousness of putujana cannot take magaphala and nibbana as the object according to the text. So one should surely accept that the consciousness that arises apart from Gurdwabu cannot take the Nibbana as the object. So it also means that any chanda, any will that arises during the practice cannot take Magapala and Nibbana as the object. Only the Gurdwabu can take Nibbana as the object. The Magapala and Nibbana as being expected and longed by the Puttojana, worldly person, cannot be discerned as Paramattha, the ultimate reality. So what the Puttojana, the worldly beings, are expecting as Nibbana, it is just hearsay. It is something that the person take object as the anumana, inference or deduction. It is just the panyati concept that the worldly person take as inference or deduction. The definition of Nibbana means the state where all the sufferings come to cessation. So in this way, the Puttojana can take object Nibbana as the akara panyati, the manner concept that Nibbana is the cessation of all suffering. And also when Nibbana is described in words, then the Puttojana, the worldly beings, take the sandana panyati, the form concept, in his or her mind. So the Puttojana, worldly person, only take Nibbana as the manner concept, akara panyati, sandana panyati, the form concept, as the object. So Nibbana can be taken as the object just as the concept by kusala chanda, wholesome will, as well as tanha, craving. So in other words, kusala chanda and tanha only take the concept of Nibbana as the object. Puttojana, the worldly beings, practice Satipatthana meditation. When they practice Satipatthana meditation, the vipassana knowledge, the inside knowledge, will develop stage by stage. When knowledge becomes mature, one can realize appavatta, the total cessation. The continuous arising of the nama-rupa are called pavada. The cessation of the nama-rupa are called apavada. By inference or deduction, one has to accept that the cessation really exists. There should be a new mana, inference or deduction, that Nibbana really exists. As a Puttojana, as a worldly being, as a worldling, one can just deduce, or take as inference that Nibbana is peaceful. So in this way, a Puttojana can only take the manner of Nibbana as the object. In the beginning of the practice, or as a person who has not practiced before, they only know the the virtue of the Nibbana only in theory. Earlier on, Sharaji explained that the Four Noble Truths, among the Four Noble Truths, the first two Noble Truths are called Vata Satcha. The first two, Dukkha Satcha and Smudya Satcha, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering, are called Vata Satcha. And one should practice in order to discern the first two of the Four Noble Truths. In order to discern the first two Noble Truths, one should know as theory what is rupa, materiality, what is nama, mentality. And if one is not clear of it, one should discuss or ask, and there should be pripuja. One should ask or one should discuss in order to understand what is rupa and what is nama. And also there should be savana. One should listen to the guidance and instruction how one should practice. And one should also bear it in mind, and one should apply it into one's practice by noting with aim and effort, with sustained mindfulness, so that the noting will be efficient and effective. When sati and samadhi, mindfulness and concentration, become strengthened, there will be pativeda, realization. When vipassana becomes mature, one will realize the cessation. One realizes Nibbana by attaining Magaphala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge. Magaphala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge, take Nibbana as the object. So Nibbana is taken as object by Magaphala Jnana, path and fruition knowledge. And the total cessation is the Nibbana. Vivata Satcha are the later two of the Four Noble Truths. They are super mundane. So in the practice, it will be sufficient just to know the quality, the virtue of the later two satcha, the Nirodha satcha, the truth of cessation, and Magga satcha, the truth of path leading to cessation. One does not need to work on the later two of the Four Noble Truths. What one should work on is the first two truths, Dukkha Satcha and Smudya Satcha, the truth of suffering and the truth of origin of suffering. And in order to know, in order to discern the first noble truth, the first two noble truths, one should be mindful of every arising object. So by developing vipassana knowledge, one can come to a deduction, one can come to an inference of Nibbana. So in the beginning, one should just know what Nibbana is in as theory. And through the practice, one can realize Nibbana when knowledge becomes mature. One should know the qualities of the later two satya, the later two noble truths, as they are ganda. They are the satya that are being liked, and manapa, they are cherishable. So it is sufficient just to know the virtue of the later two noble truths. And in the practice, knowing the virtues of the later two truths, one should set Nibbana as one's goal. One should have a firm goal to attain Nibbana. To explain Nibbana theoretically, it is a total peace, total happiness. There are two kinds of sukha, two kinds of happiness. The first one is Vedayita sukha, and the second is Avedayita sukha, in other words, Sandhi sukha. The first sukha, Vedayita sukha, can be felt by coming into contact with the six objects. The things, when one comes into contact with the things to be heard, to be seen, to be heard, to be smelled, to be tasted, to be touched, to be known, there is the kind of happiness and feeling. So the kind of happiness feeling that arises by coming into contact with the six sense object in the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, knowing is called Vedayita Sukha. The kind of happiness that is felt through seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and knowing. In order to get Vedayita Sukha, one has to do many things just to enjoy it for a short moment. One has to do many things just to get Vedayita Sukha for a short moment. And one has to invest with suffering in order to get Vedayita Sukha. And most of the people are trying hard liking Vedayita Sukha. And they think that without coming into contact with the six sense object, there cannot be happiness. The second type of Vedayita Sukha is the kind of happiness that is totally peaceful and happy. And in order to get Avedita Sukha, one does not have to come into contact with the sense object. People think that when there is a feeling, there can be, when there is good feeling, there can be happiness. But Avedita Sukha is the kind of happiness that does not have feeling. And this is to be explained with the example of sleeping. When a person is fast asleep in his or her sound sleep, there is nothing to be seen, nothing to be heard, to be smelled, to be tasted, or to be touched. But still, the person likes it. The person likes the comfort of being fast asleep. The person likes the comfort of having sound sleep. With the sensual pleasure, however good the sensual pleasure may be, in the seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, and touching, but after a while, the person gets tired of it. Getting tired by coming into contact with the sensual pleasure, one has to sleep. So when somebody is sleeping, when somebody is fast asleep, if the person is waking up from the sound sleep, however good the sensual object may be, the person will not be interested. So if a person is in his or her sound sleep. Somebody wakes him or her up, trying to give him some good food, but still the person will not be interested. But instead, the person will be mad. How come he, she comes and wakes me up? And you will be lucky not to get kicked when waking him up during his or her sleep. So in the moment of sound sleep, there is no feeling that is obvious. But still, people like it. However, the other kind of sensual pleasure may be good, but one cannot enjoy sensual pleasure continuously for a long period of time. There needs to be some rest. While taking rest, sleeping, the feelings are not obvious. One does not know the feeling. While asleep, there is no good feeling in seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching during sleep. But still, people like a very good sleep, a sound sleep. And people say that it was a very good sleep. But one cannot explain how good it is, and one cannot deny that it is good. And Saraji says, in the worldly life, the kind of happiness and comfort that cannot be explained and that cannot be denied is the comfort or the happiness of a good, sound sleep. So during sleep, the feeling is not as obvious, but still people like it. Nibbana excels many times than the happiness or comfort of a sound sleep. So let alone many times, but even if you imagine if it is 10 times better than the sound sleep, how good it will be. But actually, Nibbana excels many times than the happiness or the comfort of a sound sleep. It is called Sandhisukha, the happiness of peacefulness, where it is totally free, where there is a total cessation from suffering. So one has to know that Nibbana is total peace, total happiness, ultimate peace, learning from the teacher. And also, one should know what the person's goal in the practice. One should know what he, she should set as his or her goal. Nibbana is the goal of this practice. The Nibbana is totally free from all the defilements, where all the defilements are coming to cessation. And one should know that Nibbana is the final goal of the practice. And one should practice diligently in order to gain knowledge. And when vipassana jnana, inside knowledge, becomes mature, one realizes Nibbana, the total cessation. The continuous arising of the nama-rupa is called bhavata, and the cessation of the nama-rupa, Nibbana, is called abhavata, and one realizes Nibbana by attaining magga-phala-jnana, path and fruition knowledge. So one should keep Nibbana, the total cessation, as one's goal in the practice. But during the practice, One should not be expecting it. One should not be thinking about it. But one is practicing, setting the goal, setting Nibbana as the goal. And that's it. One has to set Nibbana as the goal. But during the practice, one should not be thinking about it or expecting it. One can take object only as an inference. The Avedijita Sukha can be taken as object just as an inference by Kusala Chanda, the wholesome desire, and Tatna, craving. And that's why in Upripanasa, it is mentioned that the most highest state, arahatship, can only be expected with dana, craving, and kusala chanda, wholesome desire. It is said that the nibbana that has been expected by the worldlings are just the concept as taught by the Buddha, and also the other sub-commentaries also define. So according to the teaching of the Buddha, as well as the commentaries and sub-commentaries, it is said that the worldlings can only take object, the concept of Avedijita Sukha, or in other words, the worldling can only take as an object only the concept of Magapala, path and fruition, and Nibbana. So what the worldlings are expecting or taking as the object is just the concept. If there is no expectation or longing for higher knowledges and Nibbana, if there is no expectation or longing, then Vipassana knowledge will arise continuously. It will gain momentum. It will be strengthened. But if there are expectation, longing for Nibbana during the practice, then it will be that the subtle form of craving occupy the person. They are as if like saying, we are here, we will still occupy, you Vipassana Jnana don't arise that I'm occupying this place. So it will be like saying so. And if that happens, the practice will not progress, the practice will deteriorate, and the mindfulness will also deteriorate. Even expecting, longing for the supermundane knowledge can hinder the practice. So gross form of kamachanda, gross form of desire, will be worse. Even some of the yogis whose samadhi concentration become strengthened, that they are in higher knowledges. So even those yogi who have attained higher knowledges, when a subtle craving arises, his or her practice go down, his or her practice deteriorate significantly when even a subtle form of desire arises. When that happens, all the progress that he, she had to work for diligently will be lost. And thus, yogi can become discouraged. In order not to let it happen, yogis are encouraged to note every arising object, One has to note every arising object, whether good or bad. One should note it with sustained mindfulness, effectively, efficiently. And there is only one duty of the yogi. The only duty of the yogi is to keep on noting every arising object, nothing else. So these are the explanations how the obstacle, obstruction, arises in the beginning of the practice. And it explains how kamma chanda, the desire, hinders, obstructs, so that the deliverance from the suffering cannot develop, and that vipassana kusala, the wholesomeness of inside knowledge, has no chance to arise, being obstructed by desire. When kamma chanda, the desire, obstructs the deliverance from suffering, it is said that one does not discern. One does not know. So it doesn't mean that one does not know in theory, but it means that one does not know in practice by developing bhavana. Practicing Satipatthana meditation is to discern the nama rupa, cause and effect, and the characteristic of impermanent suffering and non-self. With the development of viriya, sati, samadhi, and panya, with the development of effort, mindfulness, concentration, and knowledge, one gains bhavanamaya, knowledge gained through the development of the mind. But when kamma chanda, desire, takes place, one will not discern. One will not gain the knowledge through the development of practice. And thus, one will be obstructed from the deliverance of the suffering. And it is called niyana varana, the obstruction or the obstacle from deliverance. The nivarana, hindrances, hinder and obstruct the jhana kusala, the absorption wholesomeness, as well as the vipassana kusala, inside wholesomeness. When the mind is occupied by these nivarana hindrances, the pure clean mind become dirty, polluted, and they are called cetaso upakilesa, impediments of the mind. When the mind is overwhelmed by nivarana hindrances, knowledge has no chance to arise. There is no hope of developing knowledge so long as the nivarana hindrances are overwhelming the mind. So the knowledge gets weakened by hindrances, and thus these nivaranas are also called as panyaya dubalikarana, as they weaken the knowledge. When knowledge does not arise, then the person will be foolish and useless. In Patisamvita Magga, it is said that because these hindrances hinder and obstruct and block all various kinds of wholesomeness, they are called nivarana. It may be a little difficult to learn, but nikkhamma is the vipassana kusala, the wholesomeness of insight, which is the way of deliverance for the wise. And thus, Vipassana Kusala, the wholesomeness of insight, is called Niyana, the way of deliverance from suffering by the wise. So the person who wants to be free from suffering should practice Vipassana, which is the way of deliverance. It means that one has to develop Vipassana, one has to fulfill Vipassana to a complete level. Kamachanda, sensual desire, is the obstruction, obstacle, hindrance, hindering the Vipassana Kusala, wholesomeness of insight, from arising. And thus it is called Niyana Varana. One should prevent Kamachanda, desire, from arising by the way of Satipatthana practice. One should prevent Kamachanda, sensual desire, from arising by being mindful. And if Kamachanda arises in between, one should cure it, remove it right away by being mindful. When there is Kamachanda, sensual desire, one will be seeking for sensual objects. One will be seeking for desirable objects, not getting what the person wants. There will be craving, longing, and by getting what they want, they become elated. With this sensual pleasure, people are sunk, drowned in the mud of sensual desire, and they are being tortured by sensual objects. They are tortured by sensual objects, and this sensual pleasure has become dangerous and fatal. And Saraji says that while you have this opportunity in this life, not to be content with a sensual pleasure that is dangerous and fatal, but one should understand that there is the happiness, the total peace that is free from the danger. And in order to attain this peace, the total peace, the ultimate peace, one should practice Satipatthana meditation to a completion so that one will be free from the gravity of the sensual desire. And may you all be able to practice diligently so that you all can be freed from the gravity of these sensual desire. And this will be all for today.
Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.